Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We're here Mondays at 1 a.m., Sunday mornings, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com. The radio show's page is where we archive the programs. We encourage you to go there and check it out. We're in a transition phase. We're trying to update and upgrade the website, which is apparently going to take a lot more than what I have in my back pocket of abilities, but we're going to give it a shot to make it easier to find things and so forth, and we hope that you will join us. We're also hoping to expand this program as far as its reach on the internet. We're looking at some other opportunities. I know that people use SoundCloud and iTunes and a lot of other, and YouTube and a lot of other resources to get the information out. And we're gonna start working on that in late 2017 and probably into 2018. We hopefully will have that up and running. But in the meantime, go to richarddugan.com. We have a few pages there, information for you. We have a schedules page telling you who's coming up. And we also have the archives or podcast page where you can listen to this and other interviews. We also encourage you to do that because sometimes what you hear on the radio ain't all there is, folks. Sometimes we go a lot longer than the 50 minutes that the radio broadcast allows us to put out. We sometimes can go an hour to an hour and a half, depending upon what time we've got available or what time the guest has available for us, and we're grateful when they are able to extend that. Today is Health Day. We're going to be discussing a wide variety of issues regarding health and wellness. Big subject where if you don't have your health, you don't have anything, because if you don't feel good, you don't want to do anything other than get better. Well, today we're going to be talking with a homeopathic physician. Actually, she's delving into both sides, both the more traditional MD type stuff as well as homeopathy. And we're going to talk about the definitive homeopathic homeopathy guide to mastering everyday self-care without drugs. The title is What's the Remedy for That? And we're going to talk about that and a bunch of other stuff, including vitality, how to get it and keep it. It is also a homeopath's guide to vibrant health without drugs. Kathleen Fry, MD, you're taking all the fun out of life. What about the drugs? Come on.
Well, thank you, Richard, for having me on your show. And I am on a mission to help people be able to get off of their pharmaceutical drugs to manage their symptoms by restoring them to health so they don't have to take a handful of pills every day to jumpstart their colon or their heart or manage their moods or micromanage their biochemistry.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I worked with a gal back in the 90s who was taking 9 different medications. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, you must have some serious problems. She says, well, no, not really. I took the first one, and then I had these side effects, so they gave me the second one, and I had more side effects, so they gave me the third one, and the domino effect. And by the time it was all over, she was taking 9, and as we got to talking, she finally went to her physician, and she said, I want off all of these. And she actually got off all of them without mm-hmm. any real bad side effects or harm in that regard, and actually was doing just fine. Whatever the medication was supposed to be for, the first one, wasn't there anymore. You know, and yet right. and yet she was still taking the medication. So that's another problem. I also will also talk a little bit, because I don't know a great deal about this, although I saw a report on TV the other night regarding this whole issue of the opioid addiction in this country. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling, I don't know that it's just in this country, but that's the focal point at this point. And basically, this is what the report said, and I paraphrase. The only reason this epidemic exists is because the pharmaceutical companies have found a way to make lots of money on it. They don't
care. That is really true.
They don't care about the people.
True. Nope.
That they're nothing more than a cash machine.
And well, I think of them as, you know, one of the biggest drug pushers on the planet. Yeah. And that their only commitment is to their stock price, to their shareholders. And, you know, they may say they care about patients, but they don't. And what they do is they encourage physicians to write for these medications. And doctors do, because they've been sold a bill of goods that, oh, this is the best thing for your patients. And not, little do they know that their patients are then getting addicted to drugs. And some doctors may continue to write for prescriptions for those who smarten up and don't. Well, the next thing you know, if you've got a patient who's addicted, then they start using heroin because that's a cheaper way to get their fix. It's yeah. really horrible.
Now, I want to ask you something. And again, you may not have the answer to this question, but would you speculate that the majority of people who work within the pharmaceutical industry are not licensed medical practitioners?
No, they're not.
Okay.
I mean,
the next, okay, I'll let you respond to that a little further. But here's my point: if the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance company, which is also not made up of licensed medical practitioners, is telling the doctors this is what you're going to do, i.e., then the patients, why has no one sued either of those two entities for practicing medicine without a license?
Well, that's a good point, because they're maintain that they just talk with the doctor and they don't talk with the patients directly. That's what they would say, except they're advertising, you know, drugs on television, trying to access people directly, the mm-hmm. public directly. And mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many patients would come into my office and ask me about some new drug that they had seen on television that is, number one, much more expensive than the drug that's been around forever, mm-hmm. with probably more side effects and no extra benefit except money to the bottom line of the pharmaceutical company.
Yeah. What's the remedy for that? I like the title. I also like the drawings of the various plants within it. It reminds me of some of the very early books that I'm not sure if it was Darwin per se, but other people who would go out and they were studying the flora and the fauna, and they would draw pictures of all of these various plants and animals so that people, you know, they were drawing these sketches, these beautiful beautiful sketches, and that's kind of what
right.
that.
That's actually from a monograph that was done in the 19th century by a homeopath. So that's actually from a 19th century homeopathic medical book where they actually drew pictures of the plants from which the remedies are made.
Yeah, before photography, and that just has a neat look to it. So I was really impressed by that. But would it be fair to say that you can come up with a remedy for pretty much anything that ails us?
Yes, and I've been doing that for the last 25 years. And as a physician myself, I practiced OBGYN and homeopathy together for 27 years. And then when I moved to Colorado, I retired from OBGYN and I take care of people just using homeopathy. And I take care of people via Skype all over the world. And I have been able to help people with everything from ADD, ADHD. I actually have a client I helped with opioid withdrawal symptoms. And as a practitioner, you can use it for very complicated cases. I even talk in my first book about treating someone for acute appendicitis without surgery.
Wow.
That was probably one of my most amazing cases. But the nice thing about homeopathy is that you can use it to treat yourself and your family for acute things like allergies instead of Zyrtec, bladder infections or ear infections instead of antibiotics. You can use, there are remedies for rashes instead of cortisone. You can use a remedy for if you get a wasp bite or you go on vacation and get assaulted by 100 mosquitoes. There are remedies for that as well. There's a remedy you can take if you get bit by a tick and you want to help prevent getting Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, if you take a particular remedy called Lidum, anytime you get bit by a tick or any kind of puncture from a critter, a scorpion or a bug of any mm-hmm. kind that punctures the skin, taking Lidum actually helps prevent your body getting weak, so it would be predisposed to something like Lyme disease, which is carried by ticks.
Hmm. Well, I know that where I live up in the rural part of Santa Barbara above the city, obviously we're subject to a lot of this stuff, you know, all kinds of rodents and bugs and ticks and potential fleas. And we have dogs and cats. The cats are indoors, so they are not as exposed as the dogs are. But the dogs, if they get something on them, they're going to bring them into the house and so forth. So we monitor that very closely.
Right.
But we're talking predominantly here about human care, right?
Yes, I wrote the book primarily for human care, but you can use those homeopathic remedies for animals as well. And there are actually homeopathic veterinarians who practice veterinary medicine using homeopathic remedies.
I know that that's a big deal because my wife and I have been dealing with, for example, during the summer in particular, when it's warm here in Santa Barbara, they have what is called the Santa Barbara itch. And from what I've been able to gather, no one's been able to figure out what causes it or how to get rid of it, which is quite astounding to me because what that tells me is no one's bothered to try to find out because it doesn't seem like it would be that hard to find out.
Well, what kind of symptoms do people have when they have it?
My understanding is basically the dog just starts scratching a lot. Now, we do have fleas here. And so, yeah, you put the little flea stuff on, flea and tick drops or collar on the dog, and that probably gets rid of that. But yet they still scratch.
Uh-huh.
You know? So, you know, I don't know. I do know that my wife and I, we have been one of the things that I try to do is with the dogs in particular, and not, we'll get off of this in a moment, but I try to change out the food every so often, try a different brand and a different so forth, but always making sure that it's organic and that it's grain-free and all of the good things that it should be for the dogs so that they have something a little different every so often. I mean, how'd you like to eat the same thing every day for the rest of your life, you know?
Exactly.
And then also we give the dogs fish oil tablets or capsules. We also are using, there's this one remedy that is for one of my dogs for her joints in particular. She's got some fusing in her spine. So we're giving her this liquid amber, which is a natural type of treatment, if you will. And now we're also giving her a tablet of glucosamine and chondroitin. Now here's
let me ask you this: when she wakes up in the morning, does she have a hard time like getting up? Like she's stiff?
Yeah, she does. But once she gets up and starts walking around, she does fine.
Well, and there's a remedy for that.
Yeah,
and the remedy for that is called RHUS, and the second word is Rus toxicodendron. We just call it Rus Tox.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great remedy for animals or for people who have arthritis-like symptoms where they're really stiff in the morning and they're okay once they get up and move around. But if they overdo it, you know, hike too much or walk too far, then they get pain again.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a client who is a retired obstetrical nurse. And when she first came to see me, oh gosh, it's probably been 10 or 15 years now, she came to me as a GYN patient, and when she was telling me her history, she told me that she would sleep with a bottle of Motrin and a glass of water by her bed.
Wow.
And when she woke up in the morning, she would have to take 400 milligrams of Motrin before she could even roll over to get out of bed. Her back pain was so bad, and she had horrible sciatica. Mm. But she was concerned about having to take this Motrin, which is ibuprofen, because the effect it has on the kidneys and the liver long term. So I took her case and I put her on Rus Tox, and I started her, I think, on a 30C potency. And within a month, she was completely pain-free. She said, I just can't believe it. So I gave her Rus Tox for the arthritis, and the remedy for sciatica is a remedy called Hypericum, which is actually homeopathically prepared St. John's wort. But you take it in the 30C potency, and in a bit we can talk about how they make remedies and what does a 30C potency mean. But you take the pellet under the tongue, and to this day, she now is on ever higher. We've got her gone up on the potency of her remedies, but she was just able to come back. She just went to Europe and went, spent 2 weeks hiking in the Alps without any pain at all.
Wow. That's impressive. Yeah. That's impressive. Now, the one question that many people are going to have, whether they're doing this for themselves or their animals, is where do I get this stuff? Am I going to go to my pharmacist and say, I'd like to get Rustox. Can you get that for me?
Get it in the health food store. Whole Foods carries it.
Okay.
Most health food stores will carry it, and they're made by a company called Boiron, which is a company out of France, but they have a distribution company here in the Philly area in the States. So when you go to the health food store and you just walk into the homeopathy section, you're going to see these little blue tubes or these little vials.
Oh yeah.
And they'll have various remedies there. And the reason I wrote the book is because when you go to look for a remedy for a cold, for example, well, there's six remedies for cold. So how do you know which one? Well, you basically have to match your symptom picture with the symptoms that showed up in the proving when they did the when they discovered this healing power of this particular remedy. And we can talk about that if you like, how they do a proving. But that's why I wrote the book. It is to say, okay, for example, you have a child who has a cough. And the cough is, they don't cough so much during the day, but the minute they lay down, they cough their head off all night and can hardly sleep. That remedy is called Drosera. But if they have a cough that's worse in the morning and it goes away when they're at night, then they didn't need a different remedy. It's called Antimonium. And so those are the things I talk about to help people be able to use all those remedies in that. There's about 60 remedies. You can treat about 60 conditions, everything from allergies to warts. Mm.
And it seems to me like Mother Nature, this is the interesting aspect of this, was designed by whom I don't know, but it was designed in such a way as to facilitate the continuation of the species.
Right.
Unfortunately, man, in his infinite stupidity, has decided that it's a lot better if we can make a lot of money, which is so irrelevant to the grand scheme of things, that they find other means and other ways extracting from nature that basically keeps people not only addicted, but dependent upon these various pharmaceuticals. The thing that really is astounding to me, and if people are really listening to some of these advertisements, and I was one day, I was really listening close, and this particular drug, darned if I remember the name of it, it's just as well, was for a heart condition, to help prevent heart failure, something along those lines. And I'm listening along, and it's going on and on and on. And the side effects include, and I'm just going to throw stuff out, itchy feet and swollen hands and heart failure and itchy scalp. And I'm wait a minute. Go back. Wait a minute. I'm taking this for the prevention of heart failure, and one of the side effects is heart failure? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, the thing that really gets me is the one that there's a very famous golfer who has psoriatic arthritis.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I look at him and I hate to say this, but he just, when you look at him on television, he just doesn't have that glow of vitality, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he takes this medication, one of whose side effects happen for this, skin. Well, psoriatic arthritis is a joint pain that's also associated with psoriasis. But unfortunately, the medication he's taking happens to have a side effect of cancer because it suppresses the immune system. In fact, I had a client who took that same drug very early, like in the 90s, it was when it first came out, and she had debilitating rheumatoid arthritis. She was a beautiful woman who was the vice president from a very big jewelry company in this country. But she had, her joints were completely misshapen from rheumatoid arthritis. So she went on this medication with the idea that it would not only relieve her pain, but supposedly stop the progression of the destruction of her joints. And she went down to Argentina on business, and she came back in a casket. She got a horrible, some kind of a cold or a flu down there, and because she was on this drug that suppressed her immune system, she died.
Mm-hmm. You know, the immune system has been described in an analogy. A metaphor has been used to describe our immune system. and as abhorrent as I am to military conflicts and what have you that have been going on since man's been on the planet, it's actually probably one of the better ones, that it is our military, if you will, on a level that combats a lot of the invaders that would do the host harm. And this is the, and this was the way this was presented, that that army must continually practice and be tested in order to be strengthened.
That's
and
right.
That you want to strengthen it. So when you start taking antibiotics in particular, let alone some of these other drugs that suppress the immune system, you are basically telling that army, we don't need you. And it gets weaker and weaker and weaker until everybody just goes AWOL and you've got nothing. And that's why we have had over the last 40 plus years these what do they call them? Immunodeficiency. Is that the right phrase? Syndrome conditions.
That's right. You know, something simple like a bladder infection, for example, is a classic example. So when you have a bladder infection, the urine is normally stable, sterile. But when you have a bladder infection, it's because your system has gotten weakened enough that it's not able to fight off the bacteria that we're swimming in a sea of viruses and bacteria, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we stay, and for healthy, we stay in a normal, healthy symbiosis with our own, you know, we have more bacteria in our gut, three times our weight of bacteria in our gut. And that is one of the primary sources of our immune system, is the bacteria in our gut. And so if you get a bladder infection because that bacteria has gone up into the urethra and is colonizing the bladder, mm-hmm. then of course women mostly who get them, men can get them too, but it's more common in women. And women get urinary frequency and pain with urination. Sometimes they can pass blood when they urinate. So in conventional medicine, the idea is, oh, you just take an antibiotic to kill off the bacteria. But in homeopathic medicine, what we do is we give a remedy based on the same, that matches the same set of symptoms that the woman has. So for example, if you have two women, they both have bladder infections, but one is a 23-year-old woman who just came back from her honeymoon in Las Vegas, and she has a bladder infection because she and her husband have been getting well acquainted for, you know, the whole weekend,
mm-hmm.
hardly left the hotel room, if you know what I mean.
Right.
She has a bladder infection, and she has frequency and of urination and pain when she urinates and blood in her urine. And then you have a woman who's 75 and living in a nursing home who just fell and broke her hip, was in the hospital and had an operation where they put a catheter in her bladder and left it there for a few days while she recovered from her surgery, and she has a bladder infection. They're going to need different remedies.
Mm-hmm.
The first young woman who you know, who brought home something that should have stayed in Vegas but didn't.
Right.
And the remedy that she needs is a remedy called Cantharis, and it's made from Spanish fly, the same plant that they give bulls when they're trying to stimulate them to, you know, to mate. That's the remedy that the young woman needed, is Cantharis. The woman who was in the nursing home and had the catheterization with her surgery, she needs a remedy called Staphylos agria that is made from a delphinium. It's made from a plant, a yellow flower.
Mm.
So when you give the remedy to both of these women, what that remedy does is, the remedy stimulates the vital force. So the vital force is that unseen force that tells your cells to divide into two instead of seven. It tells your body to make bone marrow and to grow toenails and to digest your breakfast. All those trillions of functions that our bodies do all day long without us having to think about them are under the control of the vital force, or what the Chinese call qi and the Ayurvedic doctors in India call prana.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take a remedy, the remedy stimulates the vital force. And so the vital force then says to the bone marrow, okay, I need you to make a whole lot more white blood cells. And now I want those white blood cells to go from the bone marrow to the bloodstream and from the bloodstream into the bladder. And then those white blood cells go, and their job is to eat up the bacteria inside the bladder. And that's how a homeopathic remedy will get rid of a bladder infection, by stimulating your own immune system to go into overdrive. Because the reason you have symptoms in the first place is because your own vital force has gotten overwhelmed. In the first case, by the young woman with probably too much alcohol, not enough sleep, too much sex. And for the woman in the hospital, the stress of going through surgery. She's older and probably doesn't have as strong a vital force. And now they've put a catheter in her that's irritated her bladder and caused an infection.
Mm-hmm.
So the vital force can fix both of those women in both circumstances. They have the same diagnosis, but they need different remedies because they present with a different picture, because the vital force is asking for the energy of a different remedy.
You know, it's interesting. There were two things that came up in my mind as you're sharing all of this, which I think is fantastic. And it goes to show how individual we really are, and yet homeopathy is a quite a wonderful thing. And to that, number one, as far as the bacteria that we have in our systems, you say that there are certain bacteria, if you will, that are supposed to be in certain places within our body, and they're supposed to stay there, i.e. meaning that there isn't supposed to be any immigration going on from one part of the body to the other of these various bacteria.
Right.
The second thing is that came up in my mind was that I think about maybe this is stereotypical, but nonetheless, I think about, and especially in terms of the drawings you have in this great little book here. Again, the title of the book is called "What's the Remedy for That?" What I see in my mind is this small little one or two room. Shack or cabin or something deep in the woods, and there's this old lady with long gray hair in there, and she's got all these bottles and jars and all these little plant leaves and things all over the counters and what have you, and she knows what they are and where they go and so forth. And she is, for all intents and purposes, and this is not a derogatory comment, she is the old crone of the village.
Uh-huh.
Who cares for the ailing part of the village. If you've got a problem, you go to her, boom, she will help you out. And it isn't always specifically a physical medical condition. Sometimes maybe you're just not feeling good. You know, your mood is such, and it's not that she's going to give you something that's, you know, going to hop you up, but that's going to put you back into balance. And again, I think that, as you say, the vital force is going to charge up that vital force and say, hey, we got a little too much of this chemical being created over here in this part of the brain. We need to balance that off by either creating another chemical that counters that, or, you know, whatever the process is. And so this medicine has been around for centuries. What sources are there that we're able to go to today? Yours is the modern version, but yours is today's version of that old medicine. Where did you find this stuff, or where did the schools you attended find this information? I think of Chinese medicine, been around for 5,000 years. No FDA, they just knew it worked.
Right. Well, how I happened to get introduced to homeopathy was, when I went to medical school, I attended medical school at the University of Arizona, and Dr. Andrew Weil was one of my teachers. And I never missed his classes because they were the most interesting classes I had in medical school. And I had always had this interest in alternative medicine and having a deeper understanding of why it is that people get sick. So, for example, if you have two kids in a family, they have the same parents, live in the same house, eat the same food, go to the same school, and one child is very healthy and the other one is not. What's that about? Why is that child sick and the other one is well? And so I always had these questions that I never could understand. And in medical school, I didn't really get a complete answer about what it is that causes people to be healthy and why it is that people get sick. And so when I started I went into OBGYN because I love delivering babies and you get to do surgery, and I love working with women because they're much easier to work with than men, frankly. They'll listen to advice more and they pay more attention to their health.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love taking care of women. And when I got into practice, as I've often said, I felt like I was asked to build a cathedral with a roll of duct tape and a screwdriver. Like, I just didn't have enough tools to get the job done. So I would start taking care of women, and they would come in and they would complain of, like, sick. Let's say, for example, they would say, oh, I have headaches. And I never felt comfortable figuring out what they needed other than just giving them a pain medication to make the headache go away, because I wasn't taught, why do they have headaches? What's the cause of the headache? And so What I did was I started reading a lot of books. And the first book that I read that kind of put me on my path is a book by Dr. Bernie Siegel called Love, Medicine, and Miracles. And Bernie was a cancer surgeon at Yale University back in the 80s and 90s. And he wrote this book. And on the back of the book jacket, it said that Bernie was co-president with Dr. Christiane Northrup, who wrote Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, that he was co-author with her, or co-president of the American Holistic Medical Association. And I've never heard of this organization, but I thought, well, that sounds really interesting. So I called Bernie's office in Yale, and I said, is this a real organization? They say, oh, yeah, and they're headquartered in Seattle. So they gave me the number. I called the woman up in Seattle, and I said, so what is this organization? She says, well, we're an organization of osteopathic physicians and medical doctors who are interested in incorporating alternative holistic medicine into their practice. And I'm like, oh my God, do you teach this? And they're like, well, yes, we do. And we have conferences. I said, when? She said, well, we have one coming up in 3 weeks here in Seattle in February. Now, I was living in Arizona at the time. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going. So I canceled my surgical patients for that week. And I take off, and I spent a week in at the Airport Hilton in Seattle in February. Never saw the sun once. I met Patch Adams, you know, the guy who Alan Regalia. I met Deepak Chopra. I met, you know, pretty much anybody, Wayne Dyer, anybody who had anything to do with holistic medicine, I met through the AHMA. And I went on a vision quest. I learned about how to work up leaky gut. I didn't even know what leaky gut was before I got there. And I became so enthralled with this organization that I was on their board for 13 years. And then, of course, I became president. Because you know how it is if you're on a board long enough, you know, don't get to get off the board unless you agree to be president, right? So yeah. I was president of that group for 3 years. In fact, that group is now called the Academy of Integrative Health and Medicine, and I'm going to be going there to their conference in San Diego to teach on homeopathy. So I will have come full circle, because that's how I first. So I was learning all this great stuff about holistic medicine, but I was learning a little bit of this, a little Chinese medicine, a little vitamins, a little this, a little that. And I would go and I'd go back to my office and I would start practicing with my patients and saying, well, let's try this instead of, let's try a little ashwagandha to help your cortisol levels instead of, you know, just cortisone. And so, but I felt like I was learning a little bit of everything, but I wanted to learn a system that I could use that would help everyone. So I made a little prayer before I went to the AHMA meeting the following year. And I said, okay, God, if you were in a human body and you were sick, what system would you use that can be, that I can learn that can work for everyone, that's not going to have a lot of side effects? And so I just made that little prayer. I put it out there to the universe, as it were. And I went to the next meeting. I was teaching then on natural hormone therapy. And I happened to be sitting in a room waiting for my I was going to be the next speaker. So I'm sitting in the back of the room, and this woman is talking about homeopathy. And my gut just said, oh, this is it. So after the class, I said to her, do you teach this? She said, yes. And I said, where? She said, in Los Angeles, beginning in 3 weeks. So again, I canceled my surgery, and that was my first homeopathic teacher. And I studied with her I flew to LA 1 weekend a month, every month for 2 years. And I was a single mom of a 3-year-old at the time. But I loved homeopathy, and I started using it in my practice. And then I got sick myself. So I got very stressed. I went through a stressful breakup in my medical practice with my former medical partner. And it was really, really stressful. And I stopped sleeping. I could not sleep to save my life. And I was absolutely exhausted. And I knew that as a surgeon, I could not be taking sleeping pills at night and something to wake up in the morning. So I went to see a homeopath in Arizona. He took my case. He put me on a remedy. Oh, and my blood pressure had started to go up too. I had headaches because my blood pressure was high. And he took my case, listened to my story. And he basically gave me a remedy that restored my vital force. And I never had to take anything for my blood pressure. Just taking the remedy over time restored my blood pressure to normal. And to this day, I still have normal blood pressure and I sleep like a baby. And so that was the beginning for me. And he was a master homeopath. He now lives in Cyprus. But I studied with him 1 weekend a month, every month for 15 years. And that's where I got the skill to be able to treat complicated, complex things besides just colds and flu. And as a result, I gave up being a surgeon, because as when I started studying homeopathy, I realized how what a blow you give to the vital force when you take out an organ system like uterus and ovaries.
Yeah.
Once I realized that I was actually doing harm to my patients, you know, you take that oath, the Hippocratic oath that says, you know, primum non nocere, first do no harm. And once I realized that I was actually hurting people by taking their uterus out and their ovaries mm-hmm. and suppressing their hormonal system, then I basically had to stop being a surgeon, which was really sad for me because I loved doing it. But once I learned that I could help people and control their bleeding with homeopathy, for example, then I didn't need to be a surgeon anymore. And so now I do just homeopathy.
We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to continue talking with Kathleen Fry, MD, as well as in homeopathy, and we're going to continue our conversation. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay right where you are.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, along with Kathleen Fry. She is a homeopathic physician, and I want to, again, welcome you back to the program. This is just fascinating. And, of course, the path that you have taken over the many years to study this I don't even want to say science, this art, because
it's both. I call it an art and a science.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite honestly, it's such a beautiful thing. I mean, I mean, growing up, my mother did the very best she could. She was a nurse. She was a registered nurse and practiced in Phoenix and actually started to work with patients in their homes. She would go to their homes. That was a kind of a nurse that she was. And she did everything that she could to keep us healthy. One thing that she does not seem to remember, and that's okay, is the fact that she used to give us cod liver oil as children. And she completely denies the fact that she did that. Spoonful of cod liver oil. It's like, oh, Mom, child's memories are quite profound. And
well, she was smart because that was before everybody started taking fish oil.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And, of course, now, as I mentioned before, I'm giving the dogs fish oil. I was told in reference to my own personal health and well-being, in terms of my joints, because I'm in my late 50s and I'm experiencing every once in a while, not all the time, every once in a while I experience a little, you know, a little stiffness in the fingers and what have you, which is predominantly where it shows up is in the hands and the fingers, not so much the elbows, shoulders. I used to be in the knees. I had a little surgery there, arthroscopic from a torn meniscus, and they took care of that and boom, boom, boom. And that was fantastic. Now, let me ask you something. As I mentioned earlier, you could probably take care of, don't want to say the word cure here, you could treat pretty much anything with homeopathy. What about torn tissue? Because the tissue was whole in the first place, and the only reason it's torn is because of excessive stress in that area. So
right.
You'd think, okay, since we regenerate, the entire human body regenerates all of its cells in a 7-year period, why couldn't you just give it time and maybe take whatever homeopathic remedy there is to help to facilitate the regenerating of that tear, those tears that might be in, let's say, the meniscus?
You can. And there is actually there are a couple of homeopathic remedies that are very good for that. And one in particular that's good for torn tendons and soft tissue after injury is a remedy called RUTA, R-U-T-A. And so I have the nurse I was telling you about that had problems with arthritis and sciatica in her back. She slipped and broke her ankle and tore a tendon, a bunch of the tendons in her ankle. And so the first thing I had her, and of course, she goes to see the doctor because at one point she had to have she had to have the bone pinned. But she, on her way to the hospital, she called me and I told her, okay, you take Arnica, which is the remedy primarily for trauma. You take Arnica, you take Ruta, which is the one for soft tissue. And I also had her take her Rustox more frequently, which is also a great remedy for bone pain. And then once the bone is set, then there's a remedy you can take called Symphytum that actually it's called Bone Set. It's made from comfrey. It's made homeopathically from comfrey. And it basically stimulates the bone to grow. And so it will help heal a bone faster than if you just didn't take the remedy at all.
So then my comment earlier about how nature, Mother Nature, has everything in her pharmacy, which is in essence kind of scattered all over the planet, to basically take care of literally what ails you.
That's right. And the beautiful thing about homeopathy is all of these remedies are made from substances in nature. So they're made from plants, from minerals. Some things are made from animals. We have a few things that are made from things from diseases that are a special category of remedies called nosodes. But for example, there is a remedy for food poisoning, which I have had 4 times while traveling, and I have never had to go and take antibiotics or get IV fluids because I never leave home without a remedy called Arsenicum Album. So Arsenicum Album is a homeopathic remedy, and just like its name implies, it's made from arsenic. So how do we know what remedies are work for what? I mean, where do we find out this information? Well, remedies are proven on healthy people, and it's based on the principle that like heals like. So when you give a substance to healthy people, it brings on a set of symptoms. And when you then see those same set of symptoms in someone who is sick, you know that's the remedy they need. So for example, when they did the proving of arsenic, they take a small amount of arsenic and they dilute it out. So they put a little bit of arsenic in alcohol. That's a mother tincture. Then they take 1 drop of that mother tincture and they put it in 100 drops of water and pound it on the table 100 times. That's a 1C dilution. Then they take 1 drop of that and put that in that of that 1C dilution, put that in 100 drops of water and pound it 100 times. That's a 2C dilution. They do it 1 more time and get the 3C dilution. And then they pour that liquid onto milk sugar pellets. And then they give those pellets to healthy volunteers who don't know what it is they're taking. And so they begin to take those little pellets. And then within a few days, they start to develop symptoms. And then once they start to develop symptoms, they stop taking the actual remedy, and their symptoms oftentimes will continue sometimes for a day or sometimes weeks. And then they write down meticulously every single symptom that they have. So when they did the proving of arsenic, what they discovered is when healthy people took this remedy, what they developed was vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal cramps, shaking chills, and then sweats, and this feeling like, oh my God, I feel so sick, I'm afraid I might die. And those are the symptoms that you get when you have food poisoning. So when you get food poisoning, like I did on my way to a ski trip in Utah about 2 years ago, I had a sandwich in the Denver airport. And because I haven't taken prescription drugs in more than 25 years, and I take nothing but homeopathy, my vital force is so finely tuned that whenever I'm exposed to something energetically, I react immediately. So within 20 minutes of having this sandwich, I felt lightheaded. I got on the plane, and the next thing you know, by the time we hit Utah, I am, you know, got all full-blown food poisoning. But I knew what was going on, so I happened to have the remedy with me, and I started taking it every 15 minutes. And of course, what the remedy does is it encourages your body, it strengthens your vital force to purge that energy that came in through the tainted food. Because most people, if they're not doing homeopathy, it will sometimes take 6 or 8 or 12 hours for them to develop symptoms because the bacteria has to grow in their gut and so on. But for those of us who are energetically, our vital force is really finely tuned from years of homeopathic treatment, I responded way faster than when long before the bacteria had to multiply in my gut. I responded energetically. And so I took that energetic remedy. When I got to the airport and my friend picked me up, and he had to, on the way to the resort, I'm basically throwing up 3 times before we get to the resort, but I keep taking the remedy first every 15 minutes. And then as my symptoms get less and less, I take it every hour. We got to the resort. I fell asleep. I woke up and I took the remedy again every couple of hours through the night. And then next morning I was perfectly well. I had a full breakfast, skied for 3 days, no problem. And then I just continued to take the remedy a couple of times a day for the next 3 or 4 days to make sure that what Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, called a morbific influence inimical to life. That's what was in my salad, or that was in my sandwich.
What was that first word?
Morbific.
Morbific.
M-O-R-B-I-F-I-C. You know, Hahnemann was an 18th century guy, so they used all that old language. A morbific influence inimical to life. So when you get sick, it's because your energetic system, your vital force, is being bombarded by something that is detrimental to you. and it works first on an energetic level. So regular medications work biochemically, but homeopathic remedies work energetically. So a homeopathic remedy, a little pellet, works more like how an acupuncture needle works than a pharmaceutical drug.
I know now that there are companies, I think it's the state of California, has basically mandated that all people within the medical community must have to take the annual flu shot.
Right.
I know of people who are refusing to do so. They never have taken a flu shot as they've gotten.
I never got a flu shot.
Yeah, I think that the last one I had to have been before I moved out of my parents' house. Maybe in high school, probably grade school was the last one I ever had. But I don't even know that my mother believed in them, again, because she understood the role of the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're basically saying is you either take this flu shot or you will have to wear a mask every time you escort a patient or you are treating a patient, and so forth. And of course, I'm sitting here thinking, well, wait a minute. If I don't have the flu, and I don't see that there's a real problem wearing the mask. But if I don't have the flu, but a patient walks in with some contagious situation, why aren't they wearing a mask? Why aren't they required to have the flu shot? They're coming into my place of work, contaminating my workspace. And that's not what they came in for, maybe initially, although it might be. But anyway, that's what's, I think, from what I've heard is, at first I thought, someone was sharing this with me. He says, you mean your company is mandating this? Oh, no, it's not the company, medical facility. It's actually, I believe it's the state of California says that everyone in the medical field, working with patients has to get the flu shot. And I'm sitting here thinking, in addition to the scare tactics of some of the commercials that have been running, in regards to elderly and dying of getting the influenza virus, they're not talking about the number of people who get sick, literally get the flu after having taken the shot. And you made the reference to, some homeopathic remedies that actually sort of give you the hair of the dog, in a manner of speaking.
Right. So if you have, God forbid, when I get the flu, I take a remedy. Because there are remedies for flu, and that stimulates my own immune system to fight back from the flu. The other reason I don't ever take a flu shot is, well, besides the fact that I had a horrible reaction to the last time I had a vaccination in the early 80s, I was not immune to, I never had measles as a kid. I had polio and I had mumps, but I didn't have measles. And when I was in my residency working with pregnant women, you couldn't work in a hospital unless you were immune to rubella. So they gave me the MMR, which is measles, mumps, and rubella. And Richard, every single joint in my hands swelled up, and my hands hurt so bad I couldn't even carry hold a pencil, much less deliver a baby. And I had to take 10 days of prednisone to get the swelling and the pain to go away. And so that's when I knew that for me, I cannot take a vaccination because it doesn't. My system does not. I react badly to them. And the other thing to remember is that everything in nature has an energetic as well as a physical component to it. So when you take the flu shot, you're injecting yourself not only with the antibodies to this virus, but you're injecting yourself with the energy of these different viruses that cause the flu. So it not only leaves an imprint on your energetic system. And we're not trained to think energetically. We don't think about our vital force or our chi, but that's where the flu shot or anything else you take, it leaves an energetic shadow or a mark there. And I can tell you, time after time, I've seen people who tell me they've never been well since they had the flu or the flu shot. They get the flu shot, they get the flu, and then they have developed chronic fatigue after that. And I never understood why until I became a homeopath and I understood, well, what happened was when they got the flu shot, it weakened their vital force. And their vital force basically needs some help to kind of come back and recover from the energetic imprint that the flu shot left on them. So no, I never get a flu shot, but I carry with me remedies for the flu. And there's a really great remedy you can get in the health food store called gelsemium. Gelsemium sempervirens. It's made from yellow jasmine, and it's a remedy that when they did this proving on healthy people, people got all the symptoms of the flu. So when you have your body aches all over and you're so weak you can't even lift your head up off the pillow and you feel a little anxious, gelsemium is the great remedy for that. You take the 30C every couple of hours, and it will help your body recover quickly from the flu. It's also a great remedy for stage fright and for people who are afraid to fly.
Oh, that sounds better than Ambien.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've never been afraid to fly, but I've been with people who have been, and that's their drug of choice, as it were.
Well, there are homeopathic remedies for that, so people can fly without having to be medicated.
Exactly. Fascinating that the things that we have right at our fingertips. Now, this is sort of related, but I had an experience back in Arizona. I'm a native Phoenician. I was born and raised in Phoenix, Arizona, and I know you know that area well.
I lived there for like 30 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Scottsdale. I practiced medicine in Scottsdale for 27 years.
I used to bicycle out to Scottsdale almost, not every weekend with my first wife. We'd bicycle for two, tandem bike it out there in the 80s and 90s from the West Valley. I went to North Phoenix High School.
Okay.
And I grew up on a street called Hubble, which is in the area of McDowell and 16th Streets. I also know, too, that one of the homeopathic, is it schools or pharmacies, is also located there in Phoenix.
There's two, actually. There's a homeopathic pharmacy, a big one. There's actually two of them. One at the Southwest Naturopathic College in Tempe, which has a really great, I still have lots and lots of clients from Arizona, and they get their remedies there. And then there's another one that's called Arizona. It's relatively new. They do Chinese medicine and they also do homeopathic remedies, and that's in Midtown Phoenix, like 7th Avenue and Bell, I think, somewhere like there.
Yeah.
No, Bethany, like 3rd and Bethany Home. I think.
Yeah, I think it's Bethany. I think I remember reading because you have these references in your book,
right.
And we encourage people to pick up a copy not only of the first one we mentioned, which what's the remedy for that? The Definitive Homeopathy Guide to Mastering Everyday Self-Care Without Drugs, and then Vitality: How to Get It and Keep It. I'm curious, and I know we don't have much more time here, and I've got three final questions that I want to ask you, but I want to ask you also about this aspect of searching for this fountain of youth. Everybody seems to think that if we can just break the genetic codes of aging to live, I don't know why you'd want to, forever, after having lived just in the last, over the last 3 years, I joke with people saying, send the missiles, just make sure I'm at ground zero, please. Had enough. Why someone would want to live forever, yet let alone 120, 30, 40, 50 years, considering the way things seem like they're going. But do you think that is an illusory escape, that people think that if I can just live long enough, then – but then you got your health. If your health isn't any good, then – what's the point?
Right, exactly. Well, it really does come down to vitality. If you've got enough vital energy to go and do all the things that you love to do. Like I have parents who live in their 80s. And, you know, my dad still goes down to he runs a volunteer clinic down in Mexico where he does alternative kind of medicine down in Mexico. And he still goes down there and takes care of people for free. And my mom's health is not as good. She's 80, almost 86. But you know, we live a long time in our family, well into the 80s and 90s. And as long as you've got enough energy to keep going and doing all the things you love to do, then why not? But see, I believe in reincarnation, so I don't have to worry about
it. Eliminates the whole possibility.
Every 100 years I get a new body.
Yeah. Well,
I come back to somebody else.
Yeah. When you mentioned your parents, they're in their 80s, as are mine, and they're still living in Phoenix. And I always joke with my dad, Dad, it's so hot. They get so hot there. He says, it doesn't bother me. I just stay inside where it's cool.
Right.
He's not a dummy. Oh, my goodness. Before we wrap up, let me first of all thank you so much, Kathleen Fry, for joining us on the program and for sharing with us. I mean, there's so much more. We've just, again, as usual, just barely scratched the surface. But if you find yourself out here on the Central Coast, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation. If we don't, go ahead and just continue the conversation via Skype down the road, which I definitely want to do.
Very good. I'd love to do that, Richard. I'm actually going to be in San Diego teaching at the medical, the Academy of Integrative Medicine next week. And then the following week, I'm actually going to be in Los Angeles for, I'm actually going to take a homeopathic course there. The makers of Boiron have a certification course and they've asked me to take it, which I'm going to do. And so I will be in Los Angeles, periodically. But I would love to, we could always talk via Skype anytime. You have a really interesting show, and I'm very happy to be your guest.
Well, I thank you for being my guest. And before we let you go, three final questions. And again, I know we're tight on time here. So the first one is, who is Kathleen Fry?
Well, I'm a medical doctor. I grew up in California. I was raised in the San Fernando Valley before I was a Valley girl before that meant anything. And we moved to Phoenix when I was 16. And then I went to medical school in Arizona, did my training back east in Virginia, and practiced OBGYN and homeopathic medicine for 27 years. And now I do just homeopathy. I take care of people all over the world from my home in Boulder, Colorado, and I work with people via Skype or Zoom or over the phone, and I take care of people for a wide variety of ailments. Most of the people I take care of, they have tried every other kind of healing, and it hasn't worked, and so they've been really happy to discover homeopathy, which has really made a huge difference for them.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
Oh, I'm on a mission to help spread the word about homeopathic medicine, specifically so that people can learn to take charge of their own health, that they don't have to be dependent on their doctor or a pharmaceutical industry to have good health, that there are things that they can learn to treat for themselves at home so they don't have to be dependent on allergy medicine and pain medicine and constipation medicine. There are remedies for all of those things. And you don't have to be a medical person or have a lot of training to do it. That's why I wrote the little book that explains how that works. And if people want to learn more, there's more sources out there for them to learn about homeopathy. But I'm on a mission to educate people that there is an alternative to big pharma.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
My life's purpose is to spread the word about health so that people understand that their health is under their own control and that health comes from having a vibrant, vital, energetic force.
Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us here on the program. Kathleen Fry, and we encourage people to go to your website, which is DR. Is it KathleenFry.com?
No, it's Dr. Kathy. So it's DRKathi.
With an I.
DrKathyFry.com.
We will also be linked to your website so people can go directly there while listening to this interview and get more information. Check out all of the various materials that you have available. And again, we thank you so much and continued good health to you and the people that you work with.
Thank you so much, Richard. All the best.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.